also mentioned in an article that you took some medication to help with that situation.
I have, and I was really apprehensive about going on any kind of anti-anxiety just because, you know, sometimes they can be addictive and whatnot, but I've actually been really
happy. I've never heard that they're addictive.
Really?
I've never heard that, no.
Well, some are. You know, the Xanax, people can
Xanax
get addicted.
Xanax is not really what we're talking about. Is that what
you're
talking
about? That's an anti-anxiety.
That's different.
I tried it.
That's different.
And,
so you're not taking an antidepressant medication now?
I am now.
Okay. Do you like doing The View?
I love it. I love that because you really get to, you get a chance to sit down and actually talk. So.
You're Southern Baptist, right?
Yeah.
Is religion a strong part of you?
I think even stronger now, you know, after going
really?
Through after going through this whole change of life, from going from small town to big city and people looking at you. I think that my faith has grown stronger just because, you know, you've got to call on.
Which leads us to an email from Marie in Asheville, North Carolina.
Home state, yeah.
Has your faith suffered or been strengthened as a result of the circumstances you've faced during the past few years?
Again, like I was saying, I think the answer is that it absolutely has gotten stronger. I mean, just the... you know, knowing that that I don't have control over things is not always exciting for me, but it's been reassuring to know that I don't need to have control over it, that God has control.
But that religion is also very rock ribbed. It has tough standards. It takes strong stance against homosexuality.
I think that certain people within any denomination have tough not standards but strict beliefs or views, and I think that it's unfair, really, to pigeonhole every Baptist or every Christian or every Muslim or every Jew, anybody, and lump them into one category because they are a Christian or any denomination within that Christianity, and say that they believe this because, you know, a certain televangelist might believe it or a certain politician might.
Well stated. We have another email in the same vein from Jaron in Ida, Michigan. How do you keep your Christian faith strong in such an unfaithful world? What do you wish you could change, say, about the Hollywood lifestyle?
So the second question, what do you wish you could change about the Hollywood lifestyle? I don't really know that I would change anything because, I mean, honestly, it's hard and unfair again to say that I would change any situation that's happened in my life. And I know this sounds like a Miss America answer, but, you know, seriously, had it not been for, you know, experiences that I've had out in Hollywood, I might not be the same person I am today. I mean, I think I learn a lot from things that I'm not necessarily really thrilled with, experiences or, you know, things that happen that I'm not thrilled with, because you learn from that type of situation. And I think that that's how, to answer the first part of the question, that's how I've remained strong in my faith, just knowing that that God has put me in each position in my life for a reason, and that what happens today is going to lead to what happens tomorrow. And
are there times you've wavered?
Oh yeah, I think everybody has. There are definitely times, just you know, in anybody's life, if something tragic happens, you ask everybody. I think everybody asks, why me, and why is this happening? Or I thought I'd been good, God, you know, why is this going on with me? Everybody does that, but I think that, again, like I said, give it a day or two. In hindsight, you know, I realized that the reason that it happened is so I could learn this for this purpose.
You have a great deal of persistence. You told us during the break, I asked, where did you audition? And you said you auditioned in Charlotte.
Right.
And was tossed off.
Yeah, I got
you
that.
Failed.
Yeah.
Dumped.
I did.
And then went down to Atlanta and made
week.
It. Mm-hmm. What made you go down to Atlanta after they've already rejected you?
Probably stubborness. Just not thinking.
When they saw it, did they see you in Atlanta and say, hey, you've been here
oh,
already?
Oh, gosh, there were thousands of people. There are thousands
oh,
of people.
Oh, they wouldn't have known
oh,
you.
No. So I think in that first part of it, there's so many people who audition that they're it's just kind of a crapshoot, if you will, you know, that first part. And I thought, well, there's no way. I mean, I may not be the best here, and I may not win this show, which I didn't. But, you know, at least I'm good enough to get through the first day.
Did your friends know you were going down to
do
it?
No, I didn't. I didn't tell. I think I told maybe two or three people. Because, you know, if you tell too many people, then at the end of the day, you got to call them back and say, oh, I didn't make it. And you got to come up with an excuse. I didn't make it. They thought I was too skinny or, you know, whatever. So I didn't tell anybody at all. I had one friend who went down to Atlanta and camped out with me on the street. And then I told my mother and not many others.
Did you ever think of backing off?
What, with Idol?
Yeah.
No.
I mean, that's a lot of hurdle to go through.
I think once you're in it, though.
You're caught up.
And you know what? I've said this many times. That is one experience that I wouldn't trade. Being on that show, I would do it every day, every week, if I could. It was just a lot of fun.
We'll be right back. with my man Clay Aiken on this edition of Larry King Live. Some more emails as well. But first, next segment, Clay's Kids, how he's using his background as a special education teacher to help people. And as we go to break, the title song from his previous album, Invincible.